All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Lagbaje was going to be eulogizing Felade. I'm sure we'll have more time to play it as we go along because Abamiti Daniel. All right, as promised, 7 o'clock, it's time for us to listen, to hear the contributions and the tributes of Mr. Benson Idonije, Fela's first band manager. Good evening, sir.
Thank you for everything.
All right, thank you, Ogunbed. Long time no see, long time no hear.
He used to be OJ's,
you know, the last time, I'm sure. All right, but COVID-19,
everything has changed.
COVID is yeah. All right, thank you very much for being a part of our celebration of Fela's 23rd memorial anniversary on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We are the authentic source of Nigerian information to Nigerians in the diaspora. We'd like to bring Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, let's start from the very beginning. Uncle Ben, the musical style of Fela is called Afrobeat, a style he largely created, which is a complex fusion of jazz, funk, Ghanaian highlife, psychedelic rock, and traditional West African chants and rhythm. Afrobeat also borrows heavily from the native Tinka Pan. And is that correct? Is Fela's music Afrobeat? Did he start with Afrobeat? When and where did you encounter him and became his first band manager?
Well, I met him first in 1963. When he came from London. As a matter of fact, at that time I was on radio, on National Radio, Radio Nigeria.
All right.
And when he came, I was presenting a jazz program called the NBC Jazz Club every Thursday night. And he had listened for about 2 months. And one day he drove straight into Broadcasting House to see the man behind the microphone. And he asked the gate man to see me, and they came into the studio, brought an album, a jazz album that he recorded in London at the time, white label, and we played it on radio, we chatted and all that. He was excited that he found somebody who loved jazz in Nigeria, so we became friends, and we formed a band together called the Fela Atomkuri Quintet in 1963, years, and that went on to 1965, when we transformed into the Kula Lobito, Nigerian tradition of the Kula Lobito, to play high life. And it was that high life, the jazz-oriented high life, that transformed into Afrobeat in 1971. Oh, it was very exciting. It was very exciting. Well, when I worked with him in the 60s and the early 70s, it was not as Pan-Africanist and political as he later became. But eventually he became slightly unmanageable.
But you should have known that for a man to drive straight to the radio house and with a record in hand and ask the security man, I want to see the man behind the microphone. That must have been audacious at that time. You should know
It was. In fact, he did many more audacious things during our encounter. I mean, confronting soldiers and all that, wanting to take their girlfriends and all that. He did more audacious things at the time.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you would agree when you say Fela is a non-conformist.
Of course.
Yeah, not only in terms of lifestyle, even his music, from the size of the band to the big conga drums, the double bass guitar, you know, and the huntsmen, you know, nobody could manage such a band if you were not. I mean,
yeah, of course. I mean, it's not easy to start to describe his musicianship and his music, but just suffice it to say that Fela was an incomparable master musician. He was an incomparable master musician.
I like that.
Okay,
so how do you view the transition from the Kula Lobito's high life to Afrobeat, Egypt 80, and all of that?
Yeah, it was a one-man fusion. I mean, some people claim that they contributed to Afrobeat. It was a one-man fusion. And what started from the simple, everyday high life that he inherited from Tola here in the late 50s into his own type of jazz-oriented highlife with the second tradition of the Kula Lobito. And then the transformation into Afrobeat. It was a fusion, it was a gradual transition. And he rediscovered himself, as a matter of fact, in America. Wow. Because all of that highlight was not seen as African music by the international community. When he went to America, he was told to play highlight. Hello, are we still on?
Yeah, we're on. I'm listening.
Okay, when he went to America with the Kula Lovitos, he thought he was playing African music until he was asked to come and perform at the Disneyland, and they told him he was not playing African music. So he went back to rethink his approach to his music. And in Los Angeles, and I mean, he discovered himself in the club and experimented with My Lady's Frustration. But that song, I mean, freaked him because everybody in the club told him that that was African. And so Afrobeat, as a matter of fact, started from My Lady's Frustration, but it was watered down to John Koku in 1971.
Wow. And Jankoku certainly is a masterpiece. He's a masterpiece.
Yeah. Of course, yes. Of course, yes.
In spite of how far Fela came, you know, we couldn't leave Jankoku behind.
Yes, I mean, it was a masterpiece.
Yes. All right. Another very interesting, even though it's on a lighter note. Okay. Since we started the program at about 2:15, a lot of people have been telling me to ask, you know, about, you know, Fela's fashion, his dress sense. It wasn't like that from the beginning. I mean, we've seen pictures, we've seen a few videos about Fela performing in a club. He wasn't wearing what he ended up wearing till his, you know, later years. Are you aware of what happened? Yes, his dress sense, which is unique.
But in later years, when he became Pan-Africanist, when he became ideological, he started to dress like an African. Although they were shirts and shorts and all that, you could see some African dresses. I mean, you could see some African traits in the color, in the coloration of the clothes and all that. But before then, he was just dressing like a jazz man.
Yeah, he did. He was. But I mean, someone even sent me a chat now that I should ask for who the tailor is. They are looking for Fela's tailor. Because the guy.
As a matter of fact, there was one tailor who. The fellow who was sewing for him and those days was living near my house in Aquino City in Kulere. Unfortunately, he died some 6-7 years ago.
Wow. He must have gone with a lot of masterpieces in his head. You know, because Fela's clothes were always a perfect fit, and you know, that endeared him to, especially the young ones, because we saw it as very, very, very fashionable.
Yes.
All right, let's go back to his music. Now Fela transformed from that high life jazz player to that political musician. Do you think that was deliberate? Was it by accident, or that was just his persona?
It was deliberate. It was not by accident. As a matter of fact, his eyes were open to that kind of music in America because he saw all the revolutionary outfits in America at that time. By the time that he went, that was when Africa became the center of the world, and everybody was thinking African. All the groups were fighting for self-expression and all that. So he discovered himself and discovered that Africa was bigger than what he thought himself. Then they began to teach him about the power of Africa, what Africa really was. So it was deliberate. So he moved into this consciousness deliberately. Of course, yes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we started with a 10-man outfit with the Kula Lovitos, and even with the Africa 70, it was not more than 12, 13, and all that. But at the time that people saw that he had wound up, I mean, the band had gone there, because when the house was burnt and he went to Ghana, and he was also chased away from Ghana, and all that, became frustrated. The band was out and was down for about 2 years or so. And the boys even left him out when he came from Germany. So when he reformed the Egypt 80, and people thought that he was already, because that was when he increased the size of the band, you know, with two pianos and two baritone saxophones.
Yes.
And all that, yes. So and, it was a very big band.
And ultimately to two bass guitars.
It was deliberate because he wanted to do African music with it. He wanted to transform himself to the pedestal of the likes of Ander, of Bach, like Koski and all that.
Yes.
Because he told himself that he was not more playing Afrobeat, that he was playing classical African music, you know.
And
he could do a lot with big band instrumentation.
All right, classical African music indeed. And of course, later I introduced the big conga drums and two bass guitars. Wonderful, wasn't it?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
It takes a genius. It takes a genius to be able to handle, manage, and be able to control all of this in one piece of music.
It takes a genius to be able to compose the kind of songs that he composed. It takes a whole genius to be able to arrange the type, the way he arranges music.
And of course, what about his lyrics? Very powerful lyrics, and no old bed. And I mean,
of course, powerful and political. I mean, fearless.
That's the word, fearless. Eh? Yes.
Message driven and fearless.
Yes. Wow, wow. All right. So, in all your years of working with him, which would you consider your favorite piece of Fela's music?
It's difficult to say, my brother.
Everybody has been saying so. Even me, I can't say this one.
there is quality in every piece of his music. You know, in every piece of music, maybe it's the melody that appeals to me. In this one, maybe it's the solo concept. In others, maybe it's the reach and all that. In another, maybe it's the question and answer session.
Yeah,
as soon as so, so I do not have any particular favorite.
But
it depends on what I'm looking for in every piece of his music.
All right. But if you
if you must insist,
yes,
Beast of No Nation,
Egbekegbe,
yes, is the biggest, yes, Beast of No Nation.
Yeah.
Actually, that was what opened the stage way for his African, classical African music.
All right, okay, thank you very much, Mr. Benson.
Yes, I must thank you for remembering Fela, you know.
Oh, wow, he made a very huge difference.
I must thank you for this day.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, too. Uncle Ben, once in a while we'll call. This is Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We'll play strictly Nigerian music to Nigerians in diaspora. And, of course, one of these days we'll bring you into the studio post-COVID, where we all said we can talk talk a little bit more about music, Afrobeat music, your influence on Burna Boy, your grandson, and so many other things. All right, COVID is not allowing us to, you know, be as flexible as possible. But we thank God for life. And 23 years after, we just must remember that man, and I dare say the only man who could look into the face of the authorities and say, yes, I hate injustice. Okay, Fela Nicola Kokuti, and this one that I'm going to play you, Uncle Ben, is VIP, important personality. But Fela says it's Vagabonds in Power.
That was another classic.
Yes. All right, let's hear it now, Baba Jai. Give it to me. I love that introduction, the way Fela was introduced by Chrissy Yope or whatever that guy's name is, KK. And it was very fantastic. And it's a very interesting one. All right, thank you very much. Because we have Baba Ani standing by, leader of the band. By the half-hour mark, we will be talking also to Baba Lekan Animashan, also known as Baba Ani, the band leader, and we worked with Fela for years. Thank you very much. It's indeed an honor to have you on our show today, celebrating Fela 23 years after his demise. Thank you very much, Uncle Ben. Spirit of Nigeria Radio
continues with
very important personality, VIP, Vagabonds in Power.
Africa 70 und durch das Programm führen wird sie, beziehungsweise einige erläuternde Anmerkungen dazu, gibt Ihnen Kwesi Yope.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Bonsoir, mesdames, messieurs. Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. We present to you today the greatest team that ever came out of Africa. We present to you today Fela and the African 70, playing a music that is backed with politics. Fela, a musician struggling for the emancipation of the black race all over the world. Fela, the musician fighting not for money, but fighting for justice, fighting against suffering, and fighting for progress for his people. This musician you are going to see this evening, and it's going to be the beginning of a new history for you and for us, because for a long time, very little has been known about Africa from Europe. Today, we open a new page where you get an experience of a real African music from this most wonderful, great musician. You're going to see something very original, politically, religiously, and musically. Cali. And now, for an experience you never had before, for the greatest musician we have just been speaking about, I'm not going to keep you waiting too long. I'm going to bring him in, and you are going to remain here spellbound for many minutes listening to the most wonderful political music that ever came out of any part of the world from a musician called Fela Anikulapo Kuti. Here he comes.
As a foreigner, I must be happy to be in Berlin, because when I'm in Berlin, I'm here to learn something new. I don't want to jive you here tonight, my friends, brothers and sisters. I want to present myself as an African. I want you to look at me as something new that you do not have any knowledge about. Because most, 99.9% of the information you get about Africa is wrong. Someone told me, he says, if you're African, why are you wearing European dresses? I say to him, you cannot say it is European dresses, because that is a matter of history, and that is only for a symposium discussion in future. Brothers, sisters, friends, I'm going to play a tune. I want to play a tune that is called VIP. VIP means very important personality. Somebody, great man, ha ha. But you see, these VIPs, when they get too rich, they do not want to see the ordinary man on the street who is poor. If you don't understand my language, I'm sorry, I can't help you. If you do not want to hear, other people want to hear. and it's the right of all human beings to respect other people's feelings. For me, I give them a name, VIP, means vagabonds in power. Get in the groove of this sound now. Let's all clap to the rhythm so we can feel it. Let's go now. Ready?